Judge Smith. Mr. Mathis.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Kurt Mathis. May it please the Court. I'm here representing the appellant, Jimmy Miller, in this case. Your Honors, this is not your ordinary habeas appeal. Mr. Miller was abandoned by his court-appointed lawyer on his first appeal as of right in the Wisconsin Court of Appeals, thus denying him the effective assistance of counsel. That is undisputed in this case. In fact, the Wisconsin Court of Appeals has already granted Mr. Miller habeas relief on that ground. But remarkably, rather than providing Mr. Miller with new counsel to pursue his reinstated appeal rights, Mr. Miller was left in place with the attorney that had been appointed.
Who is responsible in the state system for selecting the lawyer? The state court's order suggests that the public defender's office picks the lawyer. Is that a correct statement of state law?
Your Honor, I think what...
It either is or it isn't.
Yeah, and Your Honor, frankly, I'm not sure if that's a correct statement of state
law. Well, let's just assume that what a state court says is a correct statement of state law. We generally have a positive approach to that. And the state court then told Mr. Miller, if you want a different lawyer, ask the public defender's office. Did Mr. Miller ever ask the public defender's office?
Your Honor, Mr. Miller repeatedly had asked the public defender's office for new counsel. Mr. Miller...
After the state court entered that order?
After the state court entered the
order... There's certainly no such contention in your brief.
I think that's right, Your Honor. I think after the state court of appeals entered the order, Mr. Miller's next and continued pleas were to the Wisconsin Court of Appeals, not
well. Isn't that a problem? The state court says, here's the person you asked for a different lawyer, and the person just doesn't do what he was told, and then says, I'm entitled to get rid of a lawyer, represent myself, and then say I didn't have effective assistance of counsel. You would think that as a matter of law, state court tells you to do something and you don't do it, you're going to be in trouble.
Well, Your Honor, I think that may be right. I would note that prior to this point in time, the state public defender had made its position clear that Mr. Miller was not, under any circumstances, getting a new lawyer, and had indicated that he had a choice, that he could proceed with...
I think what the record shows is that state public defender had assigned Grau to the direct appeal. Is there any evidence that with respect to collateral review and then the second direct appeal that the state public defender had said, don't bother asking me, my mind is closed?
Your Honor, there is not a state or a request from Mr. Miller back to Mr. Lund, who was in the state public defender's office after the July 22nd order. But I would point, Your Honor, to the letter from Mr. Lund previously to Mr. Miller that said, we will not appoint you with new counsel. And where Mr. Miller ended up, frankly, was in a situation where he was asking the court to assist him in getting his right to counsel. And the court essentially says, go talk to the public defender who had already told
him. His position would be materially stronger if he had done what the court told him.
Well, I think it's always a good idea to do what the court tells you, Your Honor. And it certainly would have been stronger had he done it and the public defender again said the same thing that the public defender had already told him, which is, you know, we're not giving you a new lawyer, tough luck.
Well, there's then a question whether even if a client predicts that the lawyer will not perform, whether that prediction counts for anything. We know that Grau hadn't performed the first time. Mr. Miller predicts that he won't perform a second time, but then doesn't give him a chance to either perform or not perform. course, we know from Morris against Slappy that beggars can't be choosers. I don't think the headnote to Morris stated that as the holding of the case, but it is what Morris holds.
And I agree with that, Your Honor. I think that, and this goes to one of the points that we raised in the briefs, under the circumstances, there is this issue of what Grau's performance would be the second time around. And the problem that we see is that the relationship between Miller and Grau was fractured to the point where Mr. Miller at this point, frankly, did not want Grau's advice, could not trust Grau's advice.
That is unfortunately fairly common, Mr. Mathis, particularly when somebody is in very, very deep trouble and may not have a viable defense at all. Let me ask you, if I could, about the implications your argument has for this court's practices. We get every year a fair number of Anders briefs in which appointed counsel have looked at the record and file a brief saying, I don't see a non-frivolous ground for appeal. And every year we reject a few of those briefs because the court looks at those at the record in the brief and says, no, there may in fact be a substantive ground here. Our usual practice is to enter an order to that effect and ask that lawyer or order that lawyer to file a brief. Are we violating clearly established constitutional law as established by the U.S. Supreme Court when we have the same lawyer who filed the Anders brief file the merits brief?
I don't think so, Your Honor, because I think the distinction between that scenario and the present scenario is that the appointed counsel has actually fulfilled his duties of going through the Anders process, reviewing the record, giving it the conscientious examination that Anders requires, and presenting his Anders brief to the court. In this case, what we have is a lawyer who stopped doing anything, who no longer communicated with the client, did not file an Anders brief, did not file a notice of appeal, and was found to have abandoned the client. In those circumstances, Your Honor, I think it's a different scenario that makes it that makes the conflict that is between Miller and Grau even more pronounced than ordinary just general disagreement over whether or not there is a meritorious issue to take on appeal.
Let me just raise my biggest concern here. You've made an articulate argument as to why this should be the federal law in the case of abandonment. What I was looking for in your brief is something that directly addresses 2254D1's standard for a decision that was contrary to or involved in unreasonable application of clearly established federal law as determined by the Supreme Court of the United States. Usually it's possible in a meritorious petition to be able to point to one case and say it conflicts with this one.
Yes, Your Honor.
I didn't see that.
Your Honor, I think that the case that is most directly on point that meets the 2254 standard is Evitz v. Lucey. Your Honor, that's the Supreme Court case that guarantees that a criminal appellant is entitled to the effective assistance of counsel on his first appeal as of right. That is the right that Mr. Miller was denied. His appeal rights.
And he got a remedy for that.
He got a remedy. The question, though, was which decision of the state court is it that defied the Supreme Court or unreasonably applied a decision of the Supreme Court? Which decision is it?
Yes, Your Honor, and I think that goes back to the question you were getting at earlier. I would contend that it is the decision when the Wisconsin Court of Appeals says, we are not giving you new counsel. That's the July 22, 2008 order. We're not giving you new counsel. If you want new counsel, go talk to the state public defender. It is that decision, Your Honor, that we contend.
So which decision of the Supreme Court does it violate to tell a criminal defendant to go ask the public defender for new counsel?
No, Your Honor, I think that where...
Well, we asked you what decision had violated the Supreme Court or was unreasonable, and you identified that decision. So I'm now asking, what decision of the Supreme Court did it contravene for the state to say, if you want a different lawyer, go ask the public defender?
Your Honor, Mr. Miller had the right under clearly established Supreme Court law to the effective assistance of counsel on that first appeal as of right. And when he was given that appeal right back, but without the effective assistance of counsel, it violated the Supreme Court's precedent in Evitz v. Lucey. Your Honors, I see my time is...
Thank you, Mr. Mathis.
Good morning.
Ms. Larson.
My name is Sarah Larson. I'm an Assistant Attorney General for Wisconsin, and I represent the state. In this case, the petitioner is insisting upon a right that does not exist under United States Supreme Court case law. Whether opposing counsel decides to phrase this not as an issue of a right of choice of counsel, a right of new counsel, a right of any counsel, the state's response is the same. There is no federal case law decided by the United States Supreme Court that guarantees him the right that he's insisting upon. And therefore, when the Wisconsin Court of Appeals granted his appeal rights back, it did not violate the United States Supreme Court precedent. In your questions to opposing counsel, he is correct. After the Court of Appeals decision in 2008, when it reinstated his direct appeal rights, and it said, if you want new counsel, go speak to the public defender's office. Never again did he go ask the public defender's office for a new counsel. The state concedes that Grau did abandon Petitioner Miller in the first appeal. The state concedes that. However, once the Court of Appeals reinstated his direct appeal rights, then the petitioner basically abandons his counsel, says, do not file anything on my behalf, do not do anything. I demand a new lawyer, and I'm going to take this up at the federal courts, and I'm going to petition with the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Ultimately, what the Court of Appeals did is it granted exactly what the petitioner wanted. The petitioner wrote a letter to Grau, please file a no-merit report. Grau didn't. He was found ineffective. He abandoned. When the Court of Appeals addressed it, they said, your appeal rights are reinstated. Grau shall file a no-merit report. He got what he wanted, and instead, when he got it, he decided, you know what? I don't want that. I want new counsel. But he cannot find any United States Supreme Court case law that says he is entitled to a counsel of his choice or to new counsel or to any counsel. And finally, Your Honor, the state just wants to note that he has not exhausted his state court remedies. He still has an avenue. He can still go back into the Wisconsin court. He can still challenge his plea. He can go and file a 97406 motion and challenge his plea, saying it was involuntarily and annoyingly made. Are there any questions?
Yes. Well, I'm puzzled by this last argument. Did you file a cross appeal asking us to vacate the district court's decision?
I'm sorry?
Did you file a cross appeal? I don't think you did.
No, I did not.
Well, then you can't ask for relief different from the relief the district court gave. The district court denied this petition on the merits. An argument about exhaustion asks for different relief in the district court, which would be denial without prejudice. Is that what you want us to do, and how could we do it without a cross appeal?
The district court denied this on the merits, but it also denied it on the issue of procedural default. I don't think...
That's different from failure to exhaust.
I agree.
Procedural default is a ground of decision on the merits.
Right.
Exhaustion, failure to exhaust, leads to dismissal without prejudice.
Right. And that's why I did not address... I disagreed with the district court that he was procedural defaulted on his second ground. And that is why I did not address it in my brief. Instead, I said he did not procedurally default on this claim. On the contrary, he did not exhaust his claim on his voluntary plea. And so therefore, he does have an avenue. He can still bring that claim as long as he's in custody. He can bring that claim. He can go to the public defender's office. He can ask for an attorney on this issue. And he can bring this claim in the state courts. Is there anything else?
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Ms. Larson. Mr. Mathis, we appreciate your willingness and that of your law firm to accept the appointment in this case, which is now taken under advisement. The court is in recess.